Good morning. So, Black History Month, and if you're like me and you believe in reincarnation, then probably all of y'all been black at one point in time. It's just my turn this time. Start off by saying, I know my purpose in life. I've known it since I was 9 years old. And that purpose is you. If you see me, or if I see you, or if you hear me, or if I hear you, either while I'm still in this existence or not, then my purpose involves you. My purpose is either to help you or to be helped by you. So when I say I'm here for you now, what I'm really saying is I am here for you now. You see, when you say and mean I am here, that's a good thing. Because if you're not here, then you are some when hell. You're either letting your focus on the future or your focus on the past prevents you from being here now. And the future is yet to be written. And the past is already gone. So if you're not here, then you're in la-la land. And none of those places exist. Worrying about the future. It's amazing how many times you can talk to someone and you catch yourself. You're really not in the moment, are you? You're either thinking about something you forgot to do, or you're worrying about something that's going to happen in the near future. Worrying about the future is like being mad at yourself for not being a mind reader. Why do you feel you have to be a mind reader? And especially a mind reader of a God's mind. All that matters is that you're here now. Another thing is worrying about the past. Worrying about the past, but it's already gone. Kind of like a kid being upset because they don't know how to read before the first day of school. All that matters is that you know how to read now. Let the past go. So when I say for you, that's a good thing because you and me are one. That's the topic of my talk today. We are one. What I want you to do is, would you personify your finger? Would your finger be upset if your foot was on fire? Would you lift a finger to save your foot? Absolutely, right? But yeah, every day, the hands of churches, the hands of sisters, the hands of brothers don't lift a finger and smite and spite their own self. All of us are one. And we should adopt the Musketeer slogan. One for all, and all for one. So, in times of trouble, I have no doubt that you listen for you now. I will look more than you. Never doubt this fire. Because what hurts you hurts me. Hear that same foot that I was just talking about. That same foot, you have the foot massage. How ridiculous would it be if the finger angrily said, if you don't get a massage, then don't massage them. All that matters is that we step out further, a little bit further from the shackles that we know to be our comfort zone. Far enough for us to say and mean, I am here for you. Now, I have a book in the back called Willpower Now. I don't feel like selling it, so it's free. Don't elbow anybody to get to it. Because I think I only got one. So, one per family, please. It's free. Just take it. You shouldn't always do things for money, right? One of the things that I believe one of the big premises I talk about in the book is that I discovered that in order for you to feel like you're one with everyone, that I look at this gentleman, I don't just see him, soul that's sitting there, an eternal soul. That before I can get to that point, I have to first know, who am I? So I have to ask you, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And I want you to describe yourself when you do this. And I don't want you to use your name. Don't use your address. Don't use your job, your education, your parents, your money, or your age. Because none of those things tell who you are. They tell how you are. Your name, that's how you're addressed. Your address is how you get home. The job is how you make money. The education, how you hope you would make money. All of those things tell how you are. It doesn't tell who you are. So the best way to drill down to who you are, once we strip off all of these knockoff terms and titles we give ourselves, is to unpack your adjective. Anybody remember Schoolhouse Rock? I'm just a Bill. Yeah, I'm only. I love Schoolhouse Rock. Like 80% of my knowledge came from Schoolhouse Rock. I learned the Schoolhouse Rock. There was this one song. A noun is a person, place, or. They had Schoolhouse Rock in Northern Virginia, too. Look at that. Yeah, there is a person, place, or thing. But I know that you are more than just a noun. You have to be more than just your job. You have to be more than just the money you have in your bank account. You're not a noun. You're an adjective. You're a powerful, strong adjective. And once you're able to take a look and identify truly who you are, that's the starting point, was to make that connection to other people. A year ago, I had 10 Facebook fans, counting my mama. 10. He's not even on Facebook. This morning, I had over a quarter of a million. And they 259,000 of them are in India. They are girls ages 18 to 24 who tie into my Facebook page every day, twice a day. Initially, I set up the page to sell my book. And started getting a couple of people from India who liked my page. And I realized that they bought my book, a lot of them. Cost of living there compared to where we are now. My book costs $15. That's like me going to you. Say, hey, will you buy my book? You're like, how much is it? It's $300. What? So you bought it. So I decided to give it away for free, the PDF version of it. My family was hurting. I started my own business, and I had some clients, but they weren't paying it. So we thought we were going to get kicked out of our house, lose our car. But I decided that I was going to put more time and energy into that page. And to give out love. I caught that. I had this idea that if you're lacking something, you need to give something. And that's how you get it. So I started putting more time and energy into the Facebook page. People were sending messages about the most horrendous thing that happened to these girls. Asking for my help and trying to get out. And I gave them life. And it worked. And they came back and told me it worked. And then more people started coming. And I went from that little number to 40,000, to 70,000, to 80,000, 100,000. And then in a month, 250,000. My business started to take off here in the USA. I was just all giving. I began to have people to ask me if they could help. I started coaching them on how to coach people. I kind of treat spirituality like a business and business like spirituality. In business, I try to make sure it's a win-win. And in spirituality, I'm kind of organized, road. It's just what you have to do, how you do it. Somebody asked me the other day, why India? We're all one. We're all one. The band of us, India, Africa, China, Gaul's church, doesn't matter. You ever woke up with a headache? You woke up with a headache. You ever walked around in a bad mood and you didn't know why? Because somebody on the other side of the world just got hurt. You just didn't know it. You just didn't know it. We all see things on TV, horrible things. And we look at it and we shake our head. It's just a shame. But if we just took a moment to look and see what we could do to help, if we start training ourselves not to turn our head and to at least say, don't know the answer yet. Look, and that answer will come to you. Most of you have read or heard that of wrestling. A little story from the 10 of Washington Irving titled Rip Van Winkle. We used to remember most about the story that he slept for 20 years, right? But there's another point in that story that goes almost completely overlooked. It was the sign. Before he went up into the mountains, there was a sign. And on that sign was a picture of King George III of England. But when he came back down 20 years later, that same sign now had on it a picture of George Washington, first president. And looking at that picture, he was amazed. He was completely lost. He didn't know who George was. First of all, it's a president. And that reveals to us, it reveals to us that the most striking point in that story wasn't that he slept for 20 years, but that he slept through a revolution. While he was peacefully snoring up in the mountains, a revolution was taking place down below that, of course, would change the course of history. And he knew nothing about it. He was asleep. He literally slept through a revolution. All too many times, people find themselves living amidst a great period of social change. And yet, they fail to the new mental attitude, the new situation. They end up sleeping through a revolution. Right now, we are amidst spiritual. One where souls, spirits are awakening all over the world. People are starting to see that. We are all connected. We are one. Black History Month. Women's Month. All the same. We're all connected, right? We're all the same. But it's important for us to start to look outside of ourselves, to find as much value in helping someone else than we do in helping ourselves. Martin Luther King Jr. first brought up about Rip Van Winkle and the analogy of sleeping through a revolution. And now over 50 years after America saw a bad reflection in a moral mirror, more than 90 years after a man stopped cooperating with a non-cooperating empire, more than 1,300 years since a man who could not write one word delivered to all the word of God. More than 1,900 years since a sermon was delivered on a mountain. 2,500 years since an enlightened man told the truth nobly four times. 3,000 years after a country was warned of 10 plagues and the world received 10 laws. Even after 3,500 years since the Gita captured a simple directive for a complex world, have no hate toward anything or anyone. We wonder when mankind wake up. The revolution spoken of by King Gandhi, Muhammad, Jesus, Buddha, Moses, and Krishna. We can all do something, even if it's little. It might be big to someone else. Thank you.